Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer period. If you'd like to ask a question at that time, please press star then one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn it over to Ms. Oneid Kroll. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to many of you out there. Thank you to the team for joining this call today. This is a really critical call. I'm pleased to have all of you on, and I'm very excited to be able to be a part of the announcement today regarding our capacity-based pricing, our new capacity-based pricing model. It will be really important that you pay close attention to all of the education and the information that will be shared with you today. There will be a question and answer session that will also be important for you to air out as many questions as you have on this. I wanted to just start off with a few items, a bit of guidelines for you all before we get started. As you hear the information today that we will take you through, it's important for you guys to understand that this is a pilot that we've started based on the demand we've had from the team to have an aggressive competitive takeout. So there's been a lot of analysis done on where the competition is and has been, and we've put together a model that we're going to try out here. So it's important to understand that this pilot may or may not be a fit for every customer scenario that you have. What we want you to do is absolutely take a look at it. If you've got any questions or concerns, bring that feedback and those questions to us for us to gather as many data points as possible. There will be scenarios that this will be a great fit for. There will be many scenarios that it might not be, and we'll need to help you figure out the right way to go after the competition in those scenarios. So what I wanted to stress is please keep that feedback coming to us and the input. The team has been very the sales team has been very open with us. We've appreciated all the feedback we've gotten so far from the storage leaders and from the management out there. Do keep that coming. Having said that, again, you know, the reason for this pilot is for us to be aggressive with our competition. And, you know, the primary goal for this takeout is to go after new opportunities, new competitive takeouts. It's not meant to be, you know, a scenario where we go convert our install base out there. If you have install-based customers that are in a critical situation where we've got the competition looking to take us out, it's important that you bring that forward, and we will absolutely take a look at it. But this is really meant to target our new competitive takeouts and give us an opportunity to bring in some new business. So I think it'll be really important for you to listen up to all the data that will be shared with you today. And again, take advantage of the question and answer format. And I will remain on this call for any additional questions at the tail end. I'm now going to hand it back off to Jackie.
So, hey, Omid, this is Tom. I'll take it from here.
Oh, great, Tom. Thank you.
Sure. So, hi, this is Tom O'Brien. I'm product manager for the TSM family of products. And I want to thank you for taking the time to join the call and learn more about this exciting new pricing alternative for the TSM family of products. So I'm on slide two now. The presentation we're going to be going through today is located at the links provided in the storage sales alert that announced this call, in case you're looking for it. The purpose of the call is to make you aware of the new pricing alternative for the TSM family of products. We're going to cover an overview of the offering, discussion of the pricing model, how IBM direct sellers and partners can place an order for this special bid offering. We're going to talk about how to measure capacity within this model. We'll look at some competitor capacity pricing models. The slides also have some frequently asked questions. In order to make time, we have to make sure we have plenty of time for Q&A. I'm not going to cover those frequently asked questions slides, but I'd ask that you please look them over. There's some important information in there. During the question and answer portion of the call, Koei Iswarachandran, our Tivoli Storage Pricing and Investment Analyst will be on the call to assist and help in answering any questions you might have. So moving on to slide 3, we've created an unannounced restricted special bid offering for the TSM family of products that will be available in Passport Advantage on May 27th. A restricted special bid means the part numbers will not be visible in the ordering system, and I'll discuss in a little bit how you get the part numbers so that you can place an order. All these bids will automatically go to worldwide pricing for approval, and you know, product management and sales leadership and pricing will be looking over each bid closely. So we've created a new PID with tiered per terabyte part numbers. The PID includes seven products, and they're listed out here, several TSM products and Fastback and Fastback for Exchange. So this is a pretty, you know, big bundle of products, a lot of capability within it. A customer can get this PID, install as many of those underlying product components as they like. They're not charged on what, you know, where they install or how many they install. The charge will be on a per terabyte basis within the TSM primary storage pools and within the Fastback repository. So Omid talked about, you know, kind of why we're doing this bid, and you know, one of the key reasons is, you know, our competition is offering capacity as an alternative. They're using it against us in existing TSM accounts and in white space competitive accounts. We really want to use this special bid on per terabyte pricing in competitive situations. Another reason we're doing this special bid is we've seen a lot of demand from customers, business partners, you know, IBM sellers for an alternative to the existing PVU-based licensing. You know, the general sentiment is in a lot of cases, customers feel that processor cores don't align directly with the value they feel they receive from a backup and recovery software. And counting PVUs is in some environments, not a simple thing. So they're looking for simplification. They're looking for a metric that aligns with the value they feel they're receiving. And they see that value in the data that they're managing. We've heard from service providers and customers that offer TSM on an internal service provider model that are also looking for a better alignment with their charging models, with their costs, to give them more predictable business modeling and service-based pricing and chargeback. And a terabyte capacity metric will help with that. We also see value in bundling up the TSM and Fastback offerings together. Again, it's a one PID that has a lot of capabilities. You've got all of the capabilities of TSM. You've got, you know, CDP, remote office protection, snapshotting with Fastback. We feel it's a very powerful product set. So as Omid mentioned, this is a pilot. The goals are to get your feedback. What is working? What is not working? What situations do you find that are good for this type of model? What situations aren't good? We want to get customer feedback and customer experience with the model, their use cases, their customer profile, that type of thing. So we'll take input and evaluate along the way as necessary, and if, you know, we'll adjust the model or the price points potentially if the data trends suggest the model is uncompetitive. So again, as you work with this model, as you start to do these special bids, you know, keep your sales leaders informed. What's working, what's not working, what problems do you see, what good things do you see. Send me an email with any comments you have along the way. Slide 4, this is really just sort of the one-slide overview of the model. You know, we've got a PID called IBM Tivoli Storage Manager Capacity. It includes these products as supporting products that you're entitled to use with this PID. And you see the base list pricing and the renewal pricing on this slide. One thing to note here, the charging, again, is on TSM primary pool data, and it's on Fastback repository data. There's no terabyte charge for copy pool data. So moving on to slide five, TSM and Fastback are measured on what we're calling back-end terabytes. And there's a couple of ways that you can set up a capacity model. Back-end terabytes, which is measuring data that you have under management within your primary pools, within your Fastback repositories, is one way. Another way is to measure it on the front end. And what that would mean is, for example, you look at a server, the server has a terabyte of disk, you're going to be backing up that entire disk, that's a front-end terabyte. A front-end terabyte doesn't include copies and so on, but it also doesn't get the benefit cost savings of deduplication, whereas a back-end model would. So why the back-end model? The key criteria we looked at when assessing the model were, does it improve the deal cycle time and minimize any risk to our business case by not putting any TSM revenue at risk? Is it here? A key consideration is simplicity. Is it easy to measure? And is it value aligned, meaning does the customer see the alignment with the value that they're getting from the product? We felt that the back-end model fits these key criteria that we were looking at. Both models, a front-end or a back-end model, have advantages and disadvantages. As I mentioned, a front-end model charges extra for deduplication. It also charges extra for features like snapshotting and CDP. Whereas a back-end model, you get a cost-saving benefit when you use TSM deduplication or if you use client-side compression, and it includes CDP. One of the drawbacks on the back-end model would be it includes the versions of files, whereas a front-end model doesn't. So after a lot of discussions with customers, our customer councils, our business partner advisory council, we determined that back-end terabytes best fits the goals that we're trying to accomplish. It's simple to measure. As an example, I've spoke with one of our customers who was able to run the commands we gave him against his five TSM servers and was able to quickly determine that he had 750 terabytes of licensable capacity within 15 minutes. And he's really excited to move to a capacity model and feels that it's going to result in a significant time savings spent on measuring his environment for compliance. It's value aligned. Customers and partners that we've spoken to understand the value of the primary storage pool data. They view this as the set of recovery points they're managing, and to them it makes sense that this is the capacity that we would charge for. A back-end model also protects our revenue stream, and it also has some other benefits. It gives a financial incentive to a storage administrator to tighten up his policies and data management practices. It puts him in the position of being able to go to his boss and say, by implementing dedupe for some key sets of data, by increasing the use of client compression, and by revisiting our retention policies, I was able to save the business X number of dollars. So that's, from an administrator perspective, a very good thing. Again, our back-end model includes capabilities like snapshots and CDP and deduplication as part of the package. It's not an add-on, whereas competitor front-end models would charge extra per terabyte for those things. So with all that said, and Omid talked to this early on, there's no perfect model. And as we gain experience with the model, we'll find out where it works and where it doesn't work, and we'll learn. We may make changes to what we're doing. We may learn that we need to change the model. We may learn that the model is good, but we need to adjust our price points. The bottom line is the goal here is to get some real-world experience with some true capacity-based part numbers and refine the model. The end goal is to determine if a capacity model works for us and for our customers, and if it makes sense for us to offer it as a generally available model as a side-by-side alternative with PVUs. So I've spoken with a lot of you already. I've gotten some great feedback. I want to encourage anyone on this call to please let me know the experiences that you have with the model, what works, what doesn't. And if you can do that in the context of, you know, deals that you're working, using the model with real-world data and real customers, that would be really helpful. So moving on to slide 6, this is the process for an IBM direct seller on how to get the special bid. As I mentioned, the part numbers, it's a special bid only. It's restricted. The part numbers will not be viewable in the ordering system. We have a designated focal point in each geo. These are the sales leads. And, you know, as you see opportunities, you will go to these people and you'll talk it through with them to determine, is this the right situation to use this model? You'll get the part numbers from them. Once you have the part numbers, you would process this bid as a normal special bid. The only difference will be there's going to be a template. It'll be an Excel spreadsheet that we want to attach along with the special bid to capture some important customer information, some information about the deal, the customer environment. So we want to get that filled out. This is all part of the learning process. We want to capture as much data as we can as part of the bid process so that we can evaluate things as we go. The focal point will give you the template to fill out. It's a very brief template. We're not trying to put a lot of overhead on you in terms of, process and overhead. We're just trying to capture some key information. The one difference with this special bid is it'll go directly to worldwide pricing for approval. Slide 7 is how a business partner will order. So I hope we have a lot of business partners on the phone. This special bid is available to you. Again, the part numbers are restricted, so you won't see them in the system. We'd like you to go to the sales leads in each of these GOs, and as you come across opportunities, work with them, get the part numbers from them. The way this will work is that the GO focal point will work with the Tivoli Channels team to create the special bid. The Tivoli Channel rep will work with the partner to get the required template information. The channel rep will process the bid and get the quote approved. And the bid will go to worldwide pricing for approval. Once it's approved, the channel rep will give the partner the special bid number, and you can now order against that in the business partner e-ordering tool. Just for clarification, these are the storage sales leaders that you'll be dealing with that are listed out here. So slide 8, this is sort of the one slide on how to determine and measure tiered capacity for the TSM portion of the offering. It's basically two steps. You would run the audit license command. After that's done running, you'll run this select statement that we've provided. And you'll do this on each TSM server, and then you'll add the results, and that'll be your total licensable capacity for the TSM primary pools. On slide 9 is how to determine the capacity charge for fastback deduplicated storage pools. So there's instructions on how to measure capacity against dedupe pools and non-dedupe pools. So slide 9 is the dedupe pool, and it's basically 3 simple steps, and you would do this for each fastback repository that's deduped. And slide 10 is the instructions for a non-dedupe pool. Again, this is 3 or 4 simple steps. And then once you've done that for each fastback server, you add them up. And if you have fastback and TSM in the environment, you sum up your results for the capacity for TSM and fastback, and that's your licensable capacity. So slide 11, the competitive models. Symantec has a terabyte capacity offering, and they offer that in addition to their tiered processor model. They are on a front-end terabyte metric. They don't tier they don't have tiers. What they do is they have some guidance on discounting, and it's based on their rewards program, their band pricing. So one thing to note about their model is they charge extra for dedupe. So a terabyte is $12,500. If you want dedupe, it's $2,500 per terabyte. And if you want CDP and replication, that's an additional $5,000 per terabyte. So there's no cost savings in terms of deduplication. In fact, it's a cost. Slide 12 is Avamar. They use a back-end model. They don't have tiers. They do have some discounting guidance. They are at $14,450 per terabyte. You can buy increments of capacity. They'd also like to sell you a storage appliance, and there's some pricing on that. We've known for a while that Avamar is probably not a good fit for a large environment, and after researching their pricing model, it sort of confirms that they really, their discounting kind of stops at 15 terabytes. So moving on to slide 13, this is a competitive pricing comparison. And this is the new license cost at the base list price for each of the offerings. The TSM product here was, or the TSM family capacity offering was priced out on the back end terabyte number on this. Symantec was priced out on the front end terabyte, and Avamar was priced out on the back end terabyte. When you are looking at a new opportunity for TSM, you're going to it'll be somewhat of a sizing exercise. You may start looking at front end terabytes, and you'll have to determine what the back end will look like. And some of the things that you'll have to take into account as you do that is sort of the mix of a front end terabyte. What does it look like? Is it primarily file system data? Is it primarily database data? Is it a mix? So in this example, my assumption here was that it was a 60-40 split, right? So 1 terabyte was 600 gigs of file system data, and it was 400 gigs of database data. If you're dealing with database data, often those are full database backups that occur on a daily basis, and they go straight to tape, so they're not getting deduped, and they're keeping full copies on tape. In this example, there's really 4 copies, the current backup plus 3. The assumptions here were for the file system data, there was a daily rate of change of 7%, and the number of versions of files that were kept were 14. The percent of file data that was stored in a TSM deduplicated storage pool was 25%, and we assumed a 2-to-1 dedupe ratio. So these are some of the things you'll need to look at as you try to determine the capacity for a new customer that you need to license them for. One thing to note on the deduplication, a customer who uses TSM deduplication will get the benefit of the cost savings by us measuring the deduplicated amount for charging purposes. Now, if the data is sent off to outside of TSM control, let's say, to a VTL that does deduping or some storage device that does compression, TSM has no way of knowing what that device has done with the data, and it sees the full amount of data that it sent there. So in that case, there's no benefit in terms of cost savings on the per terabyte model. Of course, there is the benefit of storage savings on the back end. So I've moved through this pretty quickly because I feel there's going to be a lot of Q&A. And what I'd like to do now, Jackie, is open it up for questions.
Certainly. If you'd like to ask a question, please dial star then 1. To withdraw your question is star then 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial star then 1. Our first question comes from James Martin. Your line is open.
Hey, Tom. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I was on mute there for a second.
Okay, no problem. Just anticipating, because I'm sure this will come up sooner or later, with the new terabyte-based model, is there room for additional discounting? Is that negotiable?
So there's discounting on the tiers, right? So if you look back at slide 4, right,
yep.
As you move through the tiers, right? So let's say you had a customer that has 125 terabytes of data in their storage pools.
Okay.
So their first 100 would be at the first tier price, and the next 25 would be at a 10% discount off of that price.
Right.
So there's discounting built into the tiers, and your customer's also going to have a Passport Advantage, discount level for the band that they're at, right?
Sure. Yep.
So that would also come into play. And, there will be some opportunities because this is a special bid, and particularly in competitive situations, for additional discounting within the special bid process.
Okay. Yeah, that was my question. So, all right, appreciate it. Thanks, Tom.
Sure.
Our next question comes from Brian Keller. Your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks. Mine should be really simple and just a picky little question, but the calculation given for querying TSM to return the number of megabytes of primary storage pool, how do we convert that to terabytes? Do you prefer 1,000 units or 1024 units?
That's a good question. And I have to go back and look at our license terms real quick. So let me see if I can find that quickly.
I realize it would result just in a rounding error, but might as well be accurate.
No, it's a very good question, and I will when we post these slides out again, I will make this more clear. Let's see. Okay, I can't find it quickly, and I don't want to hold up the call.
No problem. I could drop you a note, too.
Yes, please do. And anybody else with that same question, please send me a note. Also, I'll post this presentation probably out on the Extreme Leverage site and update it with that question.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Daniel Cook. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. This is Daniel from Germany. We recently met in CSI for a volume-based pricing as well, and he was asking for two separate prices. The one was just for file systems. This would mean only TSM extended edition, the price for this, and then for the rest. And as I see here, we have only the full bundle. Is it possible to go down if you have something like only file systems, no databases, no SAP and stuff like that, to make a different price for that?
So let me just make sure I understand the question. You have a customer who really, they don't need all this other capability. They don't need TSM for SAN. They don't need TSM for databases. They just want to do file system backup. And
yes.
they want to get a capacity-based price.
Right? Yeah, they're a service provider, and they get customers who only have files, like media, for example.
Right.
And they have different customers which have databases.
Right. So, no, we don't have a PID that is just file backup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could get this product and just use that capability if that's all they need to use.
Okay, but it's not planned to do a PID or a product for volume-based pricing only on file basis. Because at the moment, what I see from the presentation is it's all inclusive.
Right.
All inclusive.
Yeah, so we're not distinguishing between file data and database data. You know, our view is data is data. And I don't think we would look at a different price for file data versus database data.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Andres Kindlecker. Your line is open.
Hello, Greg. It's Andreas Kindlebacher.
Hi.
I have one question regarding the product ID.
Yes.
In the ordering system, I see a port ID number 5724 dash Z12. This seems to be a 2P model number. Is that right? Or is it also possible to be ordered in Passport Advantage systems?
It's only in Passport Advantage, and you should not see it at this point.
So this PID number, I'm not familiar with this PID number. It doesn't look like a Passport Advantage PID. This is,
yes.
Now let's see if they start with a D or with a E.
Yeah, Andreas, this is Kohi. So that's the PID number, but they will be underlying that PID D and E part numbers, just as you see in the normal Passport Advantage part number. There will be license part numbers, E renewal part numbers, and then D reinstatement part numbers. Those are the part numbers that you need to go to your sales lead to get once this is enabled on May 27th.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Our next question comes from Jean-Michel Dudeau. Your line is open.
Hi, folks. I have a question on how to avoid uncompliancy at the end of the contract engagement, no matter if it's a single one-year purchase or a multi-year purchase on this model. The key to this is to have an as-precise assessment of the initial pool and of its growth if it's a multi-year engagement. Is it possible to have some kind of... how would I say this? Kind of a questionnaire asking, data like what is the assessed change rates, the type of files, the sizes, and so on and so on. And that would possibly kind of compute a proposed terabyte number that we would use for licensing. Or is this something that you have in mind?
Yeah, actually, so... That kind of, if you look back at slide 13, I think what you're asking is maybe a spreadsheet where we put in some of these assumptions, right? The mix of file system data and database data, how many full database copies, what's the rate of change, and so on, right? And then,
exactly.
And then calculate a ratio of, okay, if you have one front-end terabyte, then you need, in this example, 2.64 back-end terabytes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on something like that, and I'll send it to you later today, and get your input. I kind of thought this would come up, and I'd like to have just a simple tool. It's not exact science, right?
Yeah.
But I'd like to have some type of tool to help out with that.
Well, I guess the idea is to try to diffuse any severe bad surprise at the end of the engagement. Though, of course, we would certainly give a strong recommendation to the customers that we elect to follow this path of tiered pricing to actually run these commands described somewhere in your set, in your deck.
Right.
And to, you know, monitor this on, say, on a quarterly basis and so on, to make sure that at the end of the engagement, they don't receive a huge bill from IBM. I mean, they usually receive these huge bills from EMC. It would be a shame that IBM starts to do the same thing for this reason.
Right. So that's a very good point, and I think as people implement this, it would be good to, like you said, quarterly, maybe even monthly, because these are very simple commands to run.
Mm.
You know, just run them and keep an eye on their compliance.
Okay, thanks for the answer.
Our next question comes from Harry Young. Your line is open.
Hi, forgive me. I mean, you may have covered this, and maybe the previous question may have covered this, but I was just thinking of, you know, how can we account for the storage pool growth primarily through business growth, especially things that would span different discount levels. And I think you just mentioned the previous caller that maybe truing up on a periodic basis would resolve that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm just thinking if I was a customer and I had just, you know, two simple commands to run to find out where I sit with compliance, I would run them on a pretty frequent basis, right?
So I'm thinking now of a customer that has potentially 3.5 petabytes under TSM control, where growth is a given.
Right.
I don't want IBM to lose money, but then also I don't want the customer to be penalized for some reason. So basically, the commands are the way to do that, and that should just be factored into, I guess, our account planning and their accounting.
Right.
Okay. Fine. Thanks very much, Tom.
Sure.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please dial star then one. We have another question from Daniel Cook. Your line is open. Daniel, please check your mute button. Move on to the next question.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Assuming this a customer is taking this volume-based terabyte model, and he, for this year he has to buy capacity, and if he sees that during the time that he is augmenting this capacity very, very fast, could it be possible that he goes back to the normal value-based? Value unit based model and say, okay, I want to exchange these terabytes to normal TSM licenses.
Right, so they get on this model and they find, oh boy, my growth is, you know, bigger than I expected.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, Coey, do you have any insight on that? I mean, I assume we can convert back, right?
Yeah, so obviously we when you're approaching your customer, if they're contemplating switching models, we want them to understand that we expect them to be on this model for some period of time, but we're not going to penalize anyone who is on the model and come renewal time just is not happy with the growth and want to flip back. We will accommodate those on as and if when they come in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Another question, would it be possible for the same customer to have a part of his environment on the volume base and the other part on the standard legacy pricing with value units? Can we mix that?
No.
So if a customer buys this special bid offering product, they're entitled to use, you know, those seven products with it.
Okay.
And they have to use those on capacity. Now, there are some products that are not included in this offering. For example, you know, TSM for SharePoint. In that case, you know, they could have those on a PVU basis in their environment.
Okay. I think if they would say I have a special department where I think this volume-based model fits very well, and the rest of my company... I have, for example, already the PVUs in place, and I want to keep these PBUs. Would you be able to say, okay, I keep this stuff, but this one for this one department, I go on the volume-based model?
No, I don't think we would do that. I think, you know,
okay,
for example, if they're using TSM, you know, for file backup in one department and they have that on PVUs, and then, you know, they're using TSM for some file backup in another department on capacity, we want the products that are in this product set across their environment to be on capacity.
Okay, so those are all in one range, all the same model.
Right.
Okay, makes sense. Thank you.
Sure.
Next question comes from Greg Brand. Your line is open.
Hi, it's Greg here. I think we basically covered the question in the last few, but it was with regards to current entitlement and converting over to terabyte. But I think the question has been answered with the previous caller.
Okay.
The next question comes from Chris Devastis. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. This is Christos Devastis from Greece. I have two questions, to be honest. The first one has to do with how we count the terabyte when we don't have a TSM server already installed. What do I mean by that? You already mentioned that you will provide an Excel file or some or a simple questionnaire in order for us to be able to project the terabyte that the customer will need. But I was wondering if this Excel can have some best practices. What do I mean by that? In slide 13, you already mentioned some assumptions that you made in order to calculate the back-end terabyte. But as I can see, those assumptions are not real. Let's say, for example, most of our customers does not hold only three copies of database backup. Most they usually retain seven copies, for example. So I was wondering if it would be possible for this questionnaire to have best practices, let's say, on what most of our customers do. So this is my question, let's say, a remark on how we can calculate the terabyte. And the second question that I have is, what happens when you have TSM Fastback and TSM in the same, let's say, environment? What do I mean by that? Usually, when you are using TSM Fastback, you back up your data on your disks, and afterwards, you back up your data on tape using TSM. You can understand that you backing up the data twice. And for Fastback, okay, you can calculate the terabyte on the storage pool of, not storage pool, on the disk of Fastback. On the TSM, you can also calculate the terabyte by giving the relevant query, let's say. But it's not right because you have already the your primary storage pool is the Fastback server, let's say, not the tapes that you are using for TSM. But on the other hand, the TSM query is again seeing as the primary storage pool. I don't know if I made myself clear on what I'm saying. I mean that you are calculating the storage twice. Am I correct or not?
Okay, so let me answer that question first. So let me make sure I understand the scenario. You have a Fastback server.
Mm-hmm.
It's backing up clients. It stores data in its repository.
Exactly.
You use a TSM client on the Fastback server to back up data to TSM for DR purposes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're asking, are we basically double charging, right?
Yes, exactly.
And the answer is yes. They will get charged for the data in a Fastback repository, and if they send it to a TSM primary storage pool, it will get charged for there. We see some value in TSM managing the data in terms of tape support, long-term retention, offsite protection, and we're somewhat restricted by license terms on how we can deal with that situation. So in this case, they will get charged for the data in both places.
Okay. So we cannot have a scenario, let's say, to give only to give everything in a terabyte, and for this TSM for the TSM client that will back up the data on the fastback server, to give them only per value unit. As you mentioned before, you cannot do that. Okay. Am I correct?
Cannot do. Mm-hmm. What? I didn't catch that part of the question.
No. Sorry. I mean that you've already mentioned that you cannot charge everything per terabyte and to have just only one client per value unit.
Right.
Possible. So we will double charge, let's say.
Right.
Okay.
So,
and what about what I mentioned? Would it be possible to have, let's say, a questionnaire with real assumptions, let's say, on what other customers do in order to have a precise calculation of the terabyte capacity? Because I do think that what you are mentioning in slide 13, it's not feasible. It's not something that the customers will do, let's say. It's been calculated in advance for us, for our behalf, for in our favor, let's say.
Let me explain.
Slide 13.
Okay, let me explain. Slide 13 is provided just as an example. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not a real world example. It's an example of some of the things that you need to take into consideration as you size out these things. So what I'd like to do is build a spreadsheet that has these assumptions and has a place where you can put in the value for your customer, right? How many front-end terabytes do you have? What is the mixture? And enter those as here's what the customer has, here's what they expect their daily rate of change, here's how many database copies they'd like to keep, and then calculate for that customer a ratio.
Okay.
Right? And I think, maybe the first iteration of that spreadsheet would be pretty basic. And then as we gain experience and as I get feedback from you and other guys, start to refine that so we can get an even more accurate calculation. So I will work on that, and I will try to get sort of a spreadsheet that has these types of assumptions with, you input the assumption numbers, and it will calculate a value. And then, again, as that kind of goes out there, I'd appreciate everybody's feedback on that. How can we refine that to make it better?
Okay. Good. Yes, thank you. I think that this covers my question.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Patsalades. Your line is open.
Patsalades, spelled with an I pronounced as an E. Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, pretty much Christos covered my question. The other question is, can we have some sort of integration with the ILMT? Especially when our customers have signed the subcapacity licensing agreement, if we can actually monitor, their usage via the ILMT, because every quarter or monthly basis, they need to make self-auditing. So can that happen in order to help them out?
Right. So let me make sure I understand what you're trying to accomplish. So the ILMT is a PVU counting tool. Right?
Yes.
And you mentioned subcapacity.
Mm-hmm.
And the ILMT is required if you're doing subcapacity, right?
Yes.
In a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
And that is subcapacity on PVU pricing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a customer's on PVUs today, he wants to do subcapacity, meaning he is using just a portion of his processors within a virtual environment, it would count that. So your question is, could ILMT count per terabyte capacity?
If ILMT can be made to audit the Tivoli, the new PIT, the new offering, and to have the rules built in that, okay, this is a per terabyte counting?
They don't have it today.
It's a suggestion. Voicing a suggestion.
No, this is a very good point. So, for the pilot, no. But going forward, if we decide that a capacity model is a good thing for us and a good thing for our customers, and we decide to go forward with it, mm-hmm. we will work with the ILMT team to determine how they might measure TSM capacity and provide official reporting on it. And what they might do is just under the covers run the select statements that we've given them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then report it back and
exactly.
maybe keep some history on it and things like that. So that's definitely a good suggestion going forward. Another thing that we would probably want to do is, move this from a CLI kind of thing and also move it into the TSM Admin Center so that, every time you come into the Admin Center, there's a place right there that says, here's how much capacity you're entitled for and here's how
exactly.
much you're managing.
Exactly. That's even better, yes.
Yeah.
In case a customer doesn't have subcapacity licensing agreement.
Right. So as we, go forward and if and when we bring this forward as a generally available model, that will definitely be a requirement that we put against the TSM development team.
Okay. My next question is for Kohi. With this offering, do you expect that the client, especially in a competitive situation where we run the risk of being displaced by new entrants like Microsoft and their DPM product, do we expect the client to commit to us for a number of years? Will that be a prerequisite?
We're not making that a requirement to have a multi-year contract. So part of the reason is we want to see where this pilot hunts. Are we seeing most of the deals come in with three-year contracts, or are we just seeing one-year deals? So we're not putting any requirements on this. We want to see where it plays in the market.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Our next question comes from James Martin. Your line is open.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Yeah, a lot of my question, I think, was answered earlier about because customers are pretty savvy about potentially mixing terabytes and PBUs. I think you answered that. The answer is no. But across customers that have multiple sites, for example, maybe a site in the U.S., one in Europe, can they do it by site, have the U.S. based on terabyte and the European site, for example, be based on PBUs? Is that possible, or I don't want to get?
Yeah, I don't think so.
For enterprise, then.
I guess we'd kind of view it as a per customer thing, right? So, Kelly, what are your thoughts on that one?
I would agree. It's per enterprise, per customer. So, if the customer is deciding to move to terabytes, then all their installations of TSM wherever they are will have to be on terabytes. So we can't have.
Sure.
A mix of both,
okay.
especially for this pilot.
Again, so I want to reiterate, for the things that are not included in this
right.
capacity offering, they can still have those on PVUs, right?
Sure, understand.
Now, one thing to note, I want to bring it up. It's in the FAQ, but I want to bring it up here because it's relevant. They may have, so let's say they get this capacity thing, but they also want to use something like TSM for SharePoint. So they're going to go buy that on PBUs, and they're going to buy this other thing on capacity. And let's say TSM for SharePoint, it's going to drive capacity, and they may feel double charged. If when you're bringing a bid forward, if you feel, this is an issue, let's work it through the bid, and, consideration will be given during the special bid process, potentially to reduce the per terabyte charge for those PVU-based products that they're using with this offering.
Okay. Good point. Okay. For those seven PIDs, then it's all or nothing.
Right.
There's kind of one-off, so to speak.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tom and Coy.
Sure.
And our next question comes from Michael Adams. Your line is open.
Thank you. I guess my question is, I'm assuming all of these products are still on the honor system. And the reason I ask that is, knowing that we're in a competitive space, you know, I was looking at a fastback opportunity. I am looking at one 5 terabytes of front end. So if I go through your rule of thumb, that would end up being at least 3x to the back end. So that's 15 times, you know, 7,000. So that's about $105,000 for a fastback solution. And it doesn't take, you know, the slides say, you know, you'll get the benefit of dedupe, but we're not really giving the customer any benefit of dedupe. So I'm wondering if we can make some more aggressive assumptions and then true up, because it seems like right now we're really just guessing as far as how much to license, because we really don't know until we get some experience with their data. So can we take a more aggressive approach and maybe just use 2X and then true up later, as opposed to losing an opportunity because the customer thinks it's just too expensive up front?
So let me go to the comment on dedupe. So your comment there was you don't know how much benefit they're going to get. Well, actually, I think you said they don't get any benefit from dedupe. Is that?
No. I said we're not giving them the benefit of dedupe because we're telling them really to triple their storage. Just right out of the chute, because that just seems like a good litmus test. And I'm just thinking that maybe we should be a little bit more aggressive in order to get the footprint. Then we find out what their actual storage pools end up being, and then we increase the capacity.
Yeah, I think we want to do as accurate as the sizing as we can do, right, up front. And, you know, they will get some benefit from dedupe, but they'll also incur some, back end on, you know, how much data they keep in terms of the rate of change, that kind of thing. We want to get the most accurate sizing up front to avoid any shock down the road, right?
Okay. I just want to try to, you know, get a footprint and get the opportunity, especially on fastback opportunities because fastback only supports Linux and Windows,
right.
You know, they're not going to get the benefit of, you know, maybe TSM because they have another backup product that supports, you know, all of the platforms.
This is Omid. I would recommend that you bring that one forward. Let's take a look at that specific scenario and see what makes sense. I understand your viewpoint on being aggressive, and let's take a look at it.
Okay, yep. Very good. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Katarina Schiebel. Your line is open.
Hello. Here's Katarina Scheibel from Germany.
Hi.
I have a simple question related to closing for second quarter. We have existing proposals at our customer to migrate or to offer them a capacity-based TSM licensing. And then now the announcement will be active next week, yes?
Yeah.
Do we have to adapt our existing proposals to the new announcement, or can we close it in the process we did it before?
So your existing proposal is based on a previous methodology where we looked at the number of PVUs and did the conversion, right?
Yeah, and pre-approval from COE and so on.
Right. So maybe Omid and COE on that might want to answer that. My guess would be don't impact the deal that you have going on.
Exactly. So Katrina, for what you've got approval from me for, to run with those ratios, you should try and close that business. We were playing a little bit of an estimation game because we know that there are some deals that are coming through the pipeline that won't have to be fulfilled till after May 27th. And so, obviously, you know, if you have approval, go ahead and try and close those deals. Don't try and complicate the waters and miss out on an opportunity to close second quarter business. This is a new tool that you can use going forward, but don't impact deals that you already have approval for that methodology. Go ahead and close that business.
Okay, so we can get approval from WorldWide Pricing until the 27th of May on the use process. We don't have to wait or to change. I can get approval from worldwide pricing, for example, next week for existing second quarter deals.
So, Chloe, I don't know if you're answering that, but yes, we can provide approvals. It just can't be fulfilled till the 27th.
Well,
okay.
Right, Chloe?
I think you're asking about the old methodology of converting PVUs to terabytes.
I thought you meant the new one. Sorry.
No, about the old one.
I guess the question is, when do you think those deals need to be orders placed in the system? And if you think it's too close of a deadline, I would err on the side of caution and send me an approval to approve the old methodology.
Okay.
After May 27th, for sure, everything neat, because we know part numbers will be enabled and there's no risk at all. I just don't want to be in a position where we're up against a really tight deadline and you need to put an order in the system and the part number's not there.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
Next question comes from Andreas Kienlicker again. Your line is open.
Yeah, hello, it's Andreas again. Maybe I think parts of my question are already answered. So just to be crisp clear, we can run both terabyte models now, right? The old one and the new one, and it doesn't impact our quarter, right?
So after May 27th, Andreas, I want all those deals that you've been sending me to definitely be on the new model. I've been sort of approving deals as they come because I don't want to have any impact about closing deals because part numbers weren't available, but definitely after May 27th, we should really be using this new model. This is the model we're trying to test, trying to understand, trying to gain data from.
Mm-hmm. But I see a big impact there because we have current install base with PVUs in large enterprises, for example, and they would go and ask for terabyte models. And I understood in former discussions that this is not possible. We cannot mix, right? So we will run into a lot of issues.
Why would you run into issues?
Because you said in the beginning that we cannot mix terabyte models and PVU models, or did I get something wrong?
No, that's right. So the way we're going to handle if there's a competitive situation with an existing TSM customer where we feel that the terabyte model will keep them with IBM, what we're going to convert those PVUs entitlements into terabyte entitlements using the actual part numbers that will be enabled in the system. So the way that conversion is going to take place is you'll size out the current size of the primary storage pool today, and we will grant them terabyte licenses to have them compliant under the terabyte model in exchange for them giving up their PVU licenses for those seven products. So there's a simple letter agreement that I'm going to distribute to all the sales leads where it simply states the customer is giving up this set of PVU licenses, and there's a table and where you enter part numbers and quantities in exchange for this set of part numbers, which will be terabyte entitlements that will keep them current, that will make them compliant for their size of their primary storage pool today. Then, obviously, you need to sell any future growth, that you would normally be selling. So, for current customers, we will convert them. So the no mixing rules still apply, except we will just convert PVU licenses into terabyte licenses on the entitlement system using actual terabyte part numbers.
Okay, got it. There's a conversion process. And this is true for every size of customers, right?
Right. As I said before, when under the old methodology, we were really skewing this to large customers, large deal sizes, and multi-year contracts. With this new approach, we want to have no limitation. There's no size restriction. There's no multi-year restriction at all.
Okay. Then just one comment to slide number 13, the estimation and the calculation. At least here, 9 from 10 customers will not have any impact, as far as I understand, from the deduplication ratio because they go to tape afterwards. So we have to consider this, right?
Right. So you'll have to, think about how much data they at any given time they store in a dedupe storage pool. Many of them, their practices today are to use disk as a cache and then just send it out to tape. looking at this model, if somebody's on this model, they may want to change some of their practices to get the cost savings benefit, right?
Okay. Thank you for clarifying, Tom Kelly. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Harry Young. Your line is open.
Tom, I wonder if you could just carry on and clarify a little bit more. We have a customer that in some instances, some locations, their primary storage pool is on an EDL or a data domain box, implying that this is dedupe data.
Right.
I don't know.
I'll try to figure out
how to size
to clarify, that's a good point. So I think I tried to hit this point before, but the cost savings that a TSM customer on this model will see is only from the TSM deduplication, right? A TSM deduplicated storage pool.
Right.
Because we can measure that. We understand what the logical data is and the physical data, right? A storage pool sitting on a VTL that's doing dedupe, TSM will report back the I guess you would call it the physical amount that it sent to that. So there's not going to be any savings in terms of per terabyte pricing in that case.
Okay, so we're looking at TSM statistics and not
right
the landing point, the geometry of where it lands.
Right, and again, if that becomes issue, for everybody, if that's an issue, let's hear back from the field about it. The reason we did this is, again, simplicity. I don't want to have a license agreement that is 15 paragraphs long that says, if it lands on a data domain, do this. Yeah. If it lands here, do that, right?
No, the easy way is just, what does TSM send through and what is TSM managing?
Right.
Raw data, not deduped.
Right.
All right, good. Thank you.
We have no additional questions.
Okay. So I guess if there's no further questions, we can wrap it up here. I am going to work on a sort of a sizing tool related to slide 13 with some of the, plug in some numbers against some assumptions to generate a sort of a back-end ratio. Anybody has any suggestions on things they'd like to see in that worksheet, please email me. As you get experience with this model, talk with your storage sales leaders, send emails, let us know what's going on and what's working and what's not working. And I thank you all for joining the call.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.